Another one of my favorites was Dr. David Horace Bishop in English. He was a Virginian from the lower end of the valley. They were a different breed of people from Tidewater Virginians. He was tall, lantern-jawed, slow of speech, and sound of judgment. He taught English, the Romantic period, Wordsworth and all that stuff. I had him for only a few class meetings, unfortunately, but his students could never say enough good about him. He was reserved, and in a courtly fashion, he and Mrs. Bishop were the most affectionate couple I ever knew. He was Dr. Kennan's particular friend. You'll have to know a little bit more about Dr. Kennan now. He was by training a physical chemist. He had good undergraduate training at Millsaps. His MA program was actually on astronomy, Halley's Comet. But his PhD program at Hopkins was in physical chemistry, and his dissertation was on the measurement of osmotic pressure. He had taught physical chemistry at William College, Massachusetts, and been brought to Ole Miss to teach chemistry by the late Dr. Muckenfuss. He had transferred to physics on the death of Dr. Johnson, Prep Johnson, to his students, the death creating a sudden vacancy in the Department of Physics. If you know anything about the attitude of chemists and physicists towards each other, you will realize that the chemists looked on Dr. Kennan as a sort of relapsed heretic. Chemists always refer to physicists as slightly contaminated people who make painstaking measurements on very impure chemical substances. Physicists retort by calling chemists very clumsy people who make very crude measurements on highly purified chemicals. I think Dr. Kennan felt twinges of conscience here and there, for he rarely missed an opportunity to take a backhanded swipe at chemistry. I've often heard him remark to us in private that being a good chemist and a good cook required much the same talents, the ability to read and follow the directions in a cookbook. You'll not be surprised then to know that Dr. Kennan and the chemistry department kept up a discreet but lively feud most of the time. It was not one of those bitter, vulgar things. Gentlemen didn't use four-letter words in public in those days. The faculty was much smaller. Everybody knew everybody else intimately. There was also a great deal more formal social life at night than there has been recently. When we reached the campus in 1936, the day of the full dress suit had passed, but as long as Dr. Butts was there, he liked to see you in a black tie and a dinner jacket after 6 p.m. When you were wrangling with a colleague in a faculty meeting at 4 p.m., you had to realize that in a couple of more hours, you might well be standing cheek by jowl with this fella in a receiving line, or that your wives might be sitting side by side that afternoon in the Browning Club or the Woman's Book Club. And it therefore behooved you to be polite and to observe the proprieties. One afternoon, not long after we came here in 1936, we were in a faculty meeting on the second floor of the old chapel, now the Y building. Dr. Kennan and the chemistry chairman were engaged in a hot debate on some curriculum matter. I've forgotten now what the point was. But it was being fought out with much vigor and a good deal of passion. Yet with all the respect for the proprieties that one gentleman should observe when dealing with another gentleman. It was like a sort of formal, stately minuet. Yet each participant had blood in his eyes, and it seemed to the rest of us that the argument would never end. Presently, Dr. Bishop got tired of this careful but apparently endless bickering and got on his feet in his slow and courteous manner to offer what he thought, obviously, was a reasonable compromise. He did it in good faith and with every good intention, a face-saving compromise. Dr. Kennan was on his feet talking. He would not be interrupted. He didn't even let Dr. Bishop get his proposition properly stated. He went so far as to wave his hand at him in a gesture as though to shush a child down into his seat. turned his back on him and continued to go after chemistry, hammer, and tongs. Dr. Bishop subsided in obvious confusion and embarrassment and had nothing more to say. His face was red as a beet. I knew that the two were the closest of friends, and I was both astonished and embarrassed in my turn to see so rude a thing happen between two close friends. At long last, the argument was settled, just how I don't remember, and the meeting broke up. Dr. Kennan and Dr. Bishop walked out of the door to the building together, and by accident, I was right behind them. As they reached the sidewalk, Dr. Kennan reached up and put his hand on Dr. Bishop's shoulder and said, "Bishop, you taught me as an undergraduate at Millsaps, and I value highly the association we entered into there. I haven't forgotten either that you are the man who introduced me to the young lady who later did me the honor of becoming my wife. You are my nearest and dearest friend, Bishop, and I love you like a brother. But let me tell you one thing, Bishop. You get up between me and that chemistry department at your own peril." And with that, he patted him on the shoulder and chuckled. And Bishop reached down and patted Kennan on the shoulder. And the two of them walked on down the street, chuckling.